Things happening in Albany these days. Here to discuss, he is the chair of the GOP party in New York State. His name is Nick Langworthy. And we welcome him back to the airwaves right here on LA News Radio. Sir, good to have you back.
Oh, good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Last time I had you on, things were just unraveling somewhat, right? AG report, Tish James. The undercount, the nursing home scandal continues. Since then, we've had a whirlwind. Investigations, FBI, DOJ, lots of questions. Yesterday, maybe a bit of a bombshell coming out with a former staffer now with some serious allegations. Mr. Langworthy, it is all on the platter for you, sir.
Well, I think that Andrew Cuomo's probably had the worst February of his life, is my guess. The nursing home scandal has continued to rock Albany in New York State government. I mean, I have come out and called for the governor's impeachment over the cover-up that exists there. I still think that the most significant, development is that we have seen that the FBI, and we have confirmation that the U.S. attorney, they have a probe open. They're looking into this, and I think that's a really good development, to get justice for these families. Yesterday's development is another batch of bad news for this governor. And, he denied these allegations last year when she first said that, he had harassed her. That's Lindsay Boylan. But now, he continues to double down on that, but there's an awful lot of videotape that I've had people share with me that he said every woman should be listened to, every allegation should be considered, when he was attacking the Trump administration during the Kavanaugh hearing. So, I know people like Kristen Gillibrand and the like have all laid things out when some very old and outlandish allegations were made about Mr. Kavanaugh during the Supreme Court hearing. This is something that an allegation from 2 years ago. And this is serious, and, Lindsay Boylan should be taken seriously. And, there should be Jay Cope, which is the ethics board of Albany, which, Sam Cuomo's got way too many appointments on. They need to get to work on this. The attorney general should probably have an independent probe of this, but this is if these allegations are accurate, it's wildly inappropriate and perhaps criminal behavior.
Nick Langworthy with us. Nick, referring, of course, to when the governor made some comments regarding the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and the allegations of harassment from Christine Blasey Ford, and it was the governor who had indicated, lie detector should be given to Brett Kavanaugh. Well, here we go. What goes around comes around,
He wants to get strapped up to Dan in a lie detector test. I don't know.
I mean, what do you think happens here? Do we see subpoenas? Do we see some serious inquiries as far as what could happen to Andrew Cuomo? What's your take here going forward? What do you think happens?
Well, it's incredible how many people have come forward to talk about the bully behavior of Andrew Cuomo and what has gone on with Assemblyman Ron Kim, and to watch Cuomo attack him live in one of those briefings. And Ron Kim stood up to him. He stood up to the bully. But what was really deeply troubling this week is the hypocrisy that was on full display. There's a senator named Alessandria Biaggi, and she's a sophomore progressive. She's from the AOC wing of the Democratic Party. She sponsored a bill and had 14 signatures on a letter supporting the bill calling for the full removal of Andrew Cuomo's executive powers. They're going to take back the power of the state Senate. Well, our leadership in the state Senate, Senator Rob Warren and all the Republican senators, they said, we'll go with you. Well, 15 plus 21 is a majority. So our guys went to the floor and said, let's have a vote. Would you believe every Democrat that signed that letter joined the rest of the Democrats in voting against their own bill? This is what's on full display. They take courage when the cameras are on, but when it's time to act, when it's time to bring justice, they slink back into the shadows. And, you know, people need to call their senators and assembly members and say, these executive powers have been here for far too long. We need to live in a democracy again. Get back to work. Take your power back. They can do it by a simple vote of the state legislature. And we can't live in a dictatorship anymore, because you see now with the nursing home cover-up, the constant lies that have existed, that the governor is unfit to lead in that capacity. The dictator is corrupt. So if we have that, we deserve to have our own members of the legislature, the assemblymen and the senators out there, you know, fighting for our districts with a loud voice. But they haven't. And we, you know, this has been a terrible experiment from pillar to post. The governor has declared himself the hero of COVID-19, yet we still have the most deaths. We have the most deaths in nursing homes. We have a cover-up surrounding that, impossible criminal activity in that. And we also have the most businesses and jobs killed of any state due to COVID-19. Our economy is not going to get back on track in New York by the governor's own admission until 2025 at this current rate. That's unacceptable because, you know, in any parts of the state, you have to roll up the streets. It's going to be over by then because people are heading for the exits at a rapid, rapid clip.
Oh, and we're talking with Nick Langworthy, the GOP chair. Nick, you know, when we hear the word impeachment, I mean, you look at the history. As far as the state is concerned, I mean, listen, an impeachment of a governor hasn't happened in over a century, although, you know, I always refer back to, you know, around 13 years ago or so, give or take, regarding Eliot Spitzer. That's when articles were prepared. And then, of course, there was a resignation here. So, in essence, is impeachment completely out of the question here? What do you think about that?
At the current courage levels of the state legislature, I think they are. I mean, they have been lied to. I mean, and I've said this in a few press conferences, Jay. This is worse than being client number. That was a personal failing in a personal crime committed by that governor. The first people he had to answer to was his family. This is about the loss and cover up of lives of 15,000 New Yorkers. These families were lied to. These numbers were hidden. He cooked books on death. This can't be oversimplified by saying, where does it matter where they died? It matters where they died because he signed an executive order that sentenced these senior citizens to their death. By going and signing the executive order on March 25th, he made the decision to force those COVID-positive patients without testing, prohibiting testing, into those nursing homes. That is a tragic, terrible decision that led to loss of life. If these probes come back, you know, and that's where subpoenas need to fly. I hope this team is issuing subpoenas. We hear nothing more from her since the report where she uncovered that the numbers were skewed in him. We haven't heard a word from her since Melissa DeRosa admitted and apologized to Democrats for putting them in a difficult political position. These families haven't been apologized to. And, if there was a crime, if there was a cover-up, he should be impeached. The impeachment should, you know, it works just like, you know, the federal government's impeachment, reasons why I think. And this should happen. I think it'll happen with these cowards of the Democratic Party. No, I don't.
You know, you bring up Melissa DeRosa, and, you know, one of the first things everybody was talking about regarding the investigation of U.S. attorneys, why Brooklyn? Why not the Northern Tier? And then we found out either her mother or mother-in-law is actually serving up there. And did that kind of shock you as well? Why Brooklyn? Why not the Northern Tier?
Well, I'm just glad that a U.S. attorney with a conflict is looking into it. I mean, it's a coincidence that there's a conflict in that office. I mean, that woman certainly is entitled to the job that she holds in that office. But there's a lot of inconvenient truth surrounding Melissa DeRosa, like the fact that, you know, where we have to get to with this nursing home thing is there's a nugget in the middle here somewhere. Who stood to gain by such a stupid and deadly decision being made by Andrew Cuomo. And, you know, many people are pointing back to the hospital associations, the great big, you know, hospital associations in New York City that, you know, Medicaid reimbursement rates are very complicated things. And if there's a reason they have dozens of lawyers and accountants to figure all of this out, you know, at that level. And someone had to have a financial benefit to not have these people in hospital beds, but rather have them in the nursing homes. And that concerns me greatly. The inconvenient truth for Melissa DeRosa is her father happens to be the lobbyist for the largest hospital association in New York State. He wrote a lot of legislation. You know, there's some in the Daily News today about nursing home immunity and hospital immunity. And, you know, reports are that legislation was drafted by these lobbyists that happened to have, you know, the father of the chief of staff to the governor of the state of New York on their payroll. It is distasteful. It's the ugliness of Albany on full display. It is a swamp that would make Washington, D.C. blush.
Nick Langworthy with us. You know, a couple of more things regarding the nursing homes situation. Really, nobody is talking about it in length. But we've brought it up, and a lot of people want to know, well, you know, okay, so the undercount. So, but, you know, I point out to people, New York's the epicenter, was the epicenter of this thing. So when you're given data and you have to report the data because you are at the center of it all to the federal government, you know, you have an obligation because that is the template of the fight against COVID that they needed as far as accuracy is concerned. So when you underreport and you're not giving accurate information, well, guess what? You're kind of disturbing the formula in order to combat this virus. That, to me, is what makes this thing so egregious. And you heard Melissa DeRosa. You know, you read that, the fact that they hid information. They feared the wrath as far as the administration was concerned from the federal government. They feared it. And that's why they froze, as DeRosa put it. So I always point out to people, that's the most egregious part of this, Nick, is the accuracy of those numbers, besides all the other stuff. Obviously, you look at the families involved here and everything else, just devastated. That's a whole nother side of the thing. But the numbers itself, by not being accurately reported, could have had some, and who knows, maybe they did have massive ramifications.
We will never know the true. I mean, I continue to meet and talk with families that lost loved ones in nursing homes. You know, since we've, you know, been so far out there, you know, they're reaching out. They want to have conversations, and you know, there's plenty that, you know, their relative will never be counted because they somehow got them out of there at the last minute. But they obtained COVID in the nursing home. And, you know, maybe they did hospice care at home, or they did, you know, so that'll never be counted. But you know how this played out is Andrew Cuomo said, I can't have this. I'm writing a book. I've got a multi-million-dollar book deal that it just stinks to high heaven. I'm the guy that everyone says is the calming influence on the country. And, you know, I'm the offset to Trump. But this is what he wanted to be. This is where it started. Now you know, read the front page of Tabloid Day and you'll see how it's ending. The bloom is off the rose. He's been outed as a fraud on this response. And, you know, it's just so funny how many crickets you hear out of the Democratic side of the aisle.
Now, final thought. So it's been reported, no secret, that you've had some conversations with Congressman Lee Zeldin, who, of course, presides over CD1 right here in Suffolk County. Name being bandied about in a big way. You know, he's you know, giving it some thinking. We'll have him on tomorrow, by the way. In essence, if you fast forward to next year, and still, who knows if Cuomo's going to run again? I don't know. I mean, I stated, I don't think he will, my personal opinion. But Lee Zeldin, an interesting name. You know, kind of going on a different bit of a highway here, was a state senator, Let's not forget, way back in time. What about the conversations that you've had with Lee?
Well, I'll certainly keep our conversations, you know, about running for office private. I generally don't recruit candidates through the media, but I have the utmost respect and admiration for Congressman Zeldin. I mean, he's, you know, first and foremost, a combat veteran. You know, he and I are roughly the same age, you know, to the guys that went over and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, they have my ultimate admiration. You know, that he's a soldier, he's a public servant, you know, that he came onto the scene in Albany, and I think he did a tremendous job as a state senator. He's done an even better job as a congressman. And a voice for reason and common sense. I mean, you watch, you know, when he's presenting his thoughts, and, you know, I've had town hall meetings with him, and, you know, he's really become, I think, one of the best thought leaders that this generation leadership has in the Republican Party. As he can, you can ask him any question about any topic, and he's going to give you the most thoughtful and forthright answer. You know, he's someone that comes from common sense in his core, and you can see that. He wants what's best for New York, and he's been a fierce critic of this governor and in what's come out of that, because he served under this governor, and the governor's a tyrant. So it's time for, you know, courageous people to come forward to save our state. And that's, you know, a tour I took of before the last election, talking about what was on the line in our legislative elections, and it's going to be a thing going forward. We are on a mission to save New York. If we're going to have a shot to go forward, 2022 is that Waterloo moment. So, I'm encouraged that he's taking a look at it, and I think that a lot of people in my travels, in my conversations, he's on the wish list of Republican Party supporters and activists that they hope that we can get, you know, someone like Lee Zeldin to run for governor. I mean, he's very popular. He's certainly never shied away from a political, engagement. He's been able to raise a lot of resources, but, you know, the measure I take is look at 2020 and the race that he faced. They spent $10, $12 million trying to beat Lee Zeldin, and he won with authority, because, you know, the Suffolk County residents, Long Islanders know that Lee Zeldin is a solid, forthright, honest leader that they can count. So I'm proud to have him, you know, on the Republican team in this state, and to serve in my capacity, and have, you know, great leaders like that. And I think that you're going to see big things to come.
Would it bother you? I mean, listen, it's no secret, and he is loved, there's no question, here on the island. But it's no secret of his alignment as far as Donald Trump is concerned. Would that bother you based on that? The fact that, hey, you know what? New York, we know it's a blue state and everything else. Be careful here. We know some of the numbers that came in as far as the overall election in the state. Would it bother you as far as if he was the selection of his relationship that he had with Donald Trump?
It's so funny to watch the Democrats think that anyone that supported President Trump is some kind of villain. 75 million Americans supported Donald Trump. And there's an awful lot of people in New York State that voted for President Trump or financially supported President Trump. So there are a lot of great things happened in the last 4 years. And, you know, Lee Zeldin was a leader in the Congress and stood up for a lot of those great things. And, you know, their playbook is going to get real old, because people want to know what's going on today, not historically. They don't want to go back in time and say, well, what political candidate did they support? They want to know, well, why can't I get a vaccine right now? Despite all these promises from Joe Biden and Andrew Cuomo that, you know, we'd have, you know, anyone that wanted a vaccine could get one by the spring. Well, guess what? The snow's falling right now. So we have serious matters that are in front of us right now, and will continue to be. This election is going to be held in November of 2022. And New York is an absolute disaster. You know, we're going to fight this campaign based on issues in front of New York taxpayers right now. And the issues are great, whether it's public safety, whether it's fighting coronavirus, the new regulations put on by us that have crippled business, whether it's getting our kids back in school full time. You know, those are things that matter at the dinner table to New Yorkers right now. Not distractions in Washington, not distractions, in the division of the past. Looking forward, and there are many candidates looking at the governorship, several of them members of Congress that strongly support President Trump, and that doesn't bother me one iota.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on things. Could be interesting. Nick Langworthy, GOP chair, New York State. Nick, thanks so much for a couple here. Sorry for that interruption. We'll talk to you soon. How's that?
All right. Take care, Jay. Thanks.